550th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your entry in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today at underdogfantasy.com using promo code MMASGPN to get a 100% deposit match.
Round number for us of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This one's going out to Mr. Swerve, one of our viewers. Hopefully he's a subscriber on YouTube who gave Gumby props for his amazing picks on PFL, which is true. He made amazing picks, but enough about Gumby. We talk about him too much in these regional ones. These regional ones are all about Gumby. He has this covering something called United Fight League for today. Hopefully, I did some research into it. Interesting league. We shall, some names you may recognize as well, at least names attached to it. So we shall break down that today, because why the heck not? UFC's not running again until Thursday. And there's another reason. We made sure we can get odds for this. Gumby assures me that we can. And Gumby is the original MMA picking god, and he shall get us lots of wins. I don't think I introduced myself last episode. I'm Jeff Chalks Fox. If anyone cares, you probably don't. Even my family doesn't care, because they don't even watch or listen either. So no one cares. Let's bring in the one that everyone does care about. Whether he wins, even if he gets one wrong, they like to mention that to him. It's the one and only Daniel Gumby Vreeland.
Hello. Yeah, I will say, I don't think when we talked off air, I was as bullish that they would definitely post odds. But I did say some of those offshore books have posted it for, I didn't see it, I don't think, for their first event, because this is United Fight League 4. I didn't see it, remember seeing it for their first one, but for their second and third one, they did. And they've had some decent names come through. I mean, obviously, you got a UFC vet in the main event, in a contender series fighter in the co-main event. So, you got some varying levels of, like, you know, legit fighters in this organization. So, like, I think this is the type of promotion you'll see odds pop up for. And if not, you know, we're giving you one more reason to watch it, because you're listening and understanding these fighters before their fight starts. So
exactly. I'm sure you could ask the Bet Online to the world to post odds for it, and they may take you up on it. You never know if enough people ask for these things. So and we'll move lines as well. So that's one promise. Yeah, interesting. I didn't know much about this league. Well, they've only had, this is only their fourth event, so no surprise I didn't know too much about it. Looked into it, they have some bigger names attached to it, at least in the corporate sense. Frank Mir, I saw Rampage Jackson, people like that. Their big thing, though, that they're hanging their hat on, is that they are paying health insurance for their fighters. So that's a big thing that they're trumping up. That's why fighters are going to want to fight with them. And I think they're giving out, like, ownership in the company too, to some of the fighters that are fighting with them. So anyhow, audacious start. These things are tough. Running a startup of anything is tough, but hopefully they can make it happen. And we will break down this event. As Gumby said, some interesting names in here, names that you're going to recognize already. And they're running a couple championship fights as well, because they're running tournaments for belts. So we're going to cover that as well. Are they always based in Arizona? Do you know? Is that where the headquarters are?
For some reason, I want to say they fought in Florida a couple of times, but I could be wrong about that.
This one is United Fight League 4 Grand Prix Finals. Makes it sound really important. Chandler, Arizona. This is going down Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern. So you can split screen it. How do you watch this, though, Gumby? It's not on UFC Fight Pass. Have you looked into how
YouTube,
you watch it?
YouTube, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah?
I think it's just on YouTube. I could be wrong. Again, I feel like I've already said that three times on this episode. But
that you could be wrong?
That could be wrong. But I'm pretty sure you can watch it on YouTube.
Perfect. That's what we like to hear. Looking at their website to see if it says anything on it, I don't see. Yeah, UFL on YouTube. So I think you probably can watch that. Hopefully you can. So that is good to know. All right. We're always looking for new things to watch and to bet on. And here's one right here. One thing that's not new, but a thing people do love to bet on, is the NFL draft. And that is happening this week. I have a feeling I won't get picked once again this year. But Sports Gambling Podcast crew has you covered all week with NFL draft props, mock drafts, and their NFL draft watch party. Tune in Thursday night on the Sports Gambling Podcast YouTube page and hang with the guys for the best NFL draft watch party out there. I will not be representing a team. I do not have an NFL team. Gumby's NFL team is the Dallas Cowboys.
That's correct.
And they're probably not picking very high this year because they.
I think they're 22nd, something okay. Somewhere in that range. And I'm just kind of hoping they take a running back. So
that was the next question.
There's my draft insight for you. I kind of hope they get a running back. Probably not first round, but maybe somebody like Blake Corum in the second.
And you want to know how I'm going to tie all this together? We are covering a fighter whose name is Romo on this fight card, Gumby.
Look at that. That's enough, right?
He used to throw skin around for your team, right? Back in the day?
He did. He used to throw the pig skin around for my team.
You Americans call it that, right?
I don't think I've ever heard an actual American say that.
All right, fine. What's on your hat? We talked about this hat before. It looks like an Arizona Razorback, but it's not.
Pig skin. Yeah, it's the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs.
Right. Yes, we have discussed this. And our friend Ryan H. is going to wants to get your hat from his minor league team in his hometown, right? They have some crazy name too. So yep. Gumby is always in the market for new minor league hats. All right, let's talk about minor league MMA. United Fight League 4 Grand Prix Finals. Like I told you where it... when and where? It's the Gila River Casino, Chandler, Arizona. 9 fights. Gumby's picked the 5 that are of interest to him, and or fighters that he knows and can get tape on, because he is not a Tapology capper, regardless of what you may hear on the word in the street. He actually watches tape on these fighters. Probably the first 2 we're going to cover. Maybe, yeah, these fighters should have a lot of tape because they've fought a lot of fights. It's 3 5-minute rounds at flyweight. Kyle Estrada, United States of America. Shojin Miki, United States as well. No odds yet, but like we said, hopefully the better lines of the world, maybe even other bookies will put these odds up for us. All right, Miki, 10 and 12, 2 knockouts, 8 submissions. So he's finished everyone. He's pretty durable himself. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted once. So he doesn't get finished in every fight. At least this is his debut in the promotion. He's lost 4 straight fights. So before that, he won 3 straight fights. Before that, he lost 3 straight fights. So yeah, very streaky. 0-4, 3-4, 3-7. Got finished in his last 2 fights. He's not won since April 2022. He went 0-1 in Bellator, was regional champion, 2013 pro MMA debut, 2 inches taller than Estrada, 4 inches reach on him. Estrada, the Hoosier. I wonder what state he's from. 12-8 with 4 knockouts. Been knocked out 4 times, submitted once. This is his debut as well. Win-loss over his last 4. 2-4 over his last 6. Got knocked out in his last fight. That was back in April of 2023. 3-2 in LFA. 1-1 in Bellator. Used to fight at Bantamweight. Regional champion. 2 years younger than Miki. What can you tell us about these fellas? Do you know these guys?
I do. I'd seen Estrada before. I had not seen Miki, so I had to do a little bit of research. I think Estrada probably going to be a negative 170 favorite here or so. If you watch Miki fight, the first thing that is like the most clearly apparent about his fight style is just how upright he is when he stands. He is not in an athletic stance at all, which is kind of wild too, because it seems like the thing he wants to do more than anything in the world is wrestle. And so like you would think he would be in a lower stance to get down on the legs, but a lot of his takedowns for me, he doesn't get to the legs enough and winds up needing to either muscle it, which he's not a particularly strong guy, even for a flyweight, or, he winds up looking for a lot of trips, which have worked with varying levels of degrees, depending on the level of his opponent. I think he's going to have trouble getting those to work on Estrada. I also have a feeling he's going to have trouble getting close enough to Estrada, because Estrada to me is so much faster than Miki. Got a nice counter left hand that he throws. And if he's moving forward, I just can't see Miki, being able to get that clinch. I can't see him doing much with the striking, because again, he's so upright. He just doesn't generate any power with his strikes. As a result, I think Estrada is going to roll here. Negative 170 would probably be a great price for him. I'll go Estrada here.
Gumby says, get low, Miki. That's what Coach Gumby says, right?
That's right. Get low.
Get down there, man. Get down there. All right. There's a good title. There, I said something fun. You get down there, man. All right. There's our title, ladies and gentlemen. All right. there, I contributed to the episode. That means what are we moving to next? We're going to the female side of things. Doesn't say weight class, but both these women have fought strawweight most recently. So I'm guessing
strawweight fight. I'm pretty sure it says on their website. Yeah.
Okay, cool. 3 5-minute rounds. Grace DeFrancesco, United States. Susset Gomez from Mexico. Does Gumby have info on these ladies? Let's see, because they have not fought very much. La Pulga is Gomez's nickname. Pulga. Gumby.
The tick, the flea.
Yes, the flea. Yes, you know your Spanish, eh? You have to take it in school, right?
I didn't. I took it. No? I mean, I took it 4 years just for funsies, and that was a really long time ago. But
yeah,
yeah, and I remembered some of it. Shout out to Senor Ramirez.
Oh, Senor Ramirez. All right, the flea 1-0. This is her debut, and she's not fought since February 2023. That's all I got in her. Let's see what Gumby can tell you about her. DeFrancesco, 1-1 with one knockout, never been finished herself. This is her debut as well in the promotion. 1-1 at LFA, so that's easier. Gumby all know stuff on her for sure. Lost her last fight, 2-0 in pro Muay Thai, 2-inch Charlene Gomez. What could you possibly know about Gomez, Gumby?
Man, Gomez is one of the toughest ones I've had to find film on. I eventually got one of my regional MMA homies to send me some clips of her having fought. And to be honest, all I can sort of glean from this fight is, or all, from her style, is just it's a volume approach, which obviously you see out of like a lot of regional level strawweights. But like on the feet, she's basically trying to do the same thing Fire Fist did when she fought every single time. She's not trying to hurt you. She's just trying to touch you enough times that the judges think she wins, which obviously leads to a lot of weird decisions later on in your career. But at this stage, you know, enough to win. I think the fact that she's undefeated, though, probably puts this fight at like a pick'em, because obviously DeFrancesco is like, what is she, 1-1, you said?
1-1, yep.
Yeah, or, you know, not having a good-looking record doesn't help, even if you've had an extra fight than the other one. But I really do like Grace DeFrancesco. I think she does a couple of things really well. Particularly, I like the way she works in the clinch. She's got a lot of talent in terms of holding people in the right positions, finding a place for the elbow, finding a place for the knee. I don't even know necessarily that she's working for a takedown there, because in the couple of times I've seen her press against the cage, it seems like she just wants to like destabilize her opponent or immobilize her opponent and just put her in a spot where she can hit her and her opponent can't, you know, return fire. So I like the way that she does that. I think against Gomez, especially somebody who likes volume so much, sometimes when some people get, you know, kind of volume heavy, they move forward more than is good for them. They wind up in more clinches than they need to be in. I mean, again, not to continue to draw the Fire Fist parallel here, but that was kind of her problem, right? She like wound up in a lot of clinches, even though she wasn't necessarily interested in being there because she was heavy on the volume. I think DeFrancesco takes an advantage of Gomez in those situations here. I think she's a lot tougher in the clinch. I even think she's maybe a touch better of a striker, even though she will definitely have less volume than Gomez. So especially if it's a pick'em, if you maybe even get some plus money on DeFrancesco, I like her in this one.
Shout out to Firefist G Young Kim.
I should probably have actually said her name instead of just assuming every listener out of regional MMA podcast knows exactly who Fire Fist is.
You would think if they're listening to this, they probably know UFC fighters. You would think, but you never know.
Is she still a UFC fighter?
Let's check, ladies and gentlemen.
I think she's fired.
Yes, compete hid, it says, as in past.
You can probably enjoy her on the next Deep Jewels card.
Yeah, that's where she started out. Yes, it's true. I think we may have been in on her near the end of her career when she was losing on us. So yeah, she lost to Mandy Bohm. Remember the last fight, Mandy Bohm fight?
God, it was so frustrating.
Yes. They both also got fired off of that.
Yeah. That's right. Mandy Bohm got fired.
That's how bad it was. Fantastic. All right. One thing that's not bad. Here's a transition. That's what sponsors want to hear. You know what? This isn't so bad. Underdog Fantasy is not so bad. It's pretty good, actually. The NBA playoffs are here, and our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make it a lot more interesting. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Playing the pick 'em game is as simple as selecting higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. And yes, they do have MMA. So if you want to make entries of all basketball, or you want to mix and match your sports like you mix your martial arts, you can do that with all your favorite sports on Underdog Fantasy. You can win up to 100 times your money, and it's a ton of fun. Underdog is available in 30 plus states, including California, Texas, and even Canada, aka the 50. How many states you guys have? 50. first state is us. So get in there. Like I said, lots of sports, easy to use. As if you're on YouTube, you can see one of their ballot, a ballot screen right there for a UFC one. Very easy. Just hit higher or lower on whatever stat you want. And they always have specials on there. They, some of them have hot tamales beside them, and they're a spicy place. You get even better payouts for those. So check all that stuff out. But the most important thing is make sure you use our code to sign up. Pretty please, MMA SGPN. It's a win-win though. Not just good for us. Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100 if you use that code. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code MMA SGPN. Okay, where are we moving to now? I think we're skipping some. You know, Gummy's picking and choosing, but hey, he's the regional MMA god. We have to follow his lead here if we want to make money. We're going to back to a men's fight, 3 5-minute rounds at featherweight. Jose Delgado, United States. Alberto Romo, United States. There he is, Tony Romo. Relentless, actually, is what Romo's nickname is. He's 4-1, 2 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once. This man owes his rounds. This is his debut in the promotion. Got knocked out in his last fight, was regional champion. Delgado, 5-1, 1 knockout, 4 submissions. So he's finished everyone. He himself has never been finished. Despite this, he still owes his rounds. 0-1 in UFL. He's won 2 straight fights, both via submission, and used to fight at lightweight. All right, Gumby, what about these gentlemen?
So I had to learn a little bit about these guys because I was not terribly familiar with them. I really like the combinations that Jose Delgado throws, mostly because he ends a lot of them with a head kick, which you don't see a lot of. Yeah, so it's like he throws like 2 or 3 punch combinations, like, you know, like a little 1-2. Sometimes he puts some of his hooks together, a lot of times he ends it with a head kick, which is maybe something you don't see out of a lot of like low regional level type guys, which I think makes him deadly. The other thing is why I really like Delgado in this fight is that Romo has fought some truly bad competition. So bad that if you look at his,
how bad is it?
If you look at his Tapology page, they said they have the little triangle.
Oh yeah, I saw that. Yep.
Oh, yeah. This has been flagged for possible illegitimacy. yep. I found one of those fights to go back and watch, the way. And like a minute into the fight, the guy he's fighting throws this combination that I can only describe as looking like he was trying to land 13 consecutive punches to Romo's kneecap while he was like 10 to 15 feet away from him. And it was all like, you know, like I'm going to do this on YouTube. So this is incentive to go follow us on YouTube and hit subscribe.
Okay.
He goes like, he's like,
let me make sure I'm watching. Oh, 1 sec. Okay. Go. Like, there's our clip.
And
for the
like
week.
That. And right I was there. Just like, I saw that. And I was like, what is he doing? And then he turns his back to Romo, who then punches him in both sides of his head. And I'm just like, what am I even watching? And don't get me wrong. Obviously a bad level of competition doesn't automatically mean Romo is bad. But like, I just don't see, like, he's fighting a guy who's this terrible and isn't really piecing him up with combinations. Isn't like, you know, out wrestling him and making him look foolish, you know, like until like 2 or 3 minutes into the fight. And I think if you put him against the guy who's going to put together combinations and he's not used to seeing it, I think Delgado is going to get to him. So I will take Delgado in this one. I'm going to guess, because Delgado's record just a little bit nicer. Romo coming off that loss, you're probably going to see Delgado -225. Good parlay piece somewhere in that range. Heck, you might even care about the money line if Romo's fighting dudes as bad as I think they are. So yeah, give me Delgado in this one.
Hopefully we can clip Gumby doing the like, box exercise there. It's like
little punches to the knee.
I like it. Punches to the knee, even better. Nothing better than a knee punch, right? That'll win you lots of fights. Where are we going to next?
He doesn't land any of them, for the record. That's maybe the most
figure,
important
part of it. Yeah, go figure. All right, we're going to the co-main event. It's for a belt, UFL welterweight championship. They did a little tournament, and this is the tournament final. So 5 5-minute rounds. Nikolai Veretenkov. He's from Kazakhstan. You might think Russia, but no, Kazakhstan. Ashley Reese. That is a British name if I've ever heard one. Ashley, very, very English. She is from England. 5'5" in the rounds. What weight class? 170 pounds. Reese, the Beast. Good nickname. I like the rhyming. 9-2, 4 knockouts, 1 submission. Never been finished in a fight. 1-0 with 1 no contest in UFL. 1-0-1, no contest over his last 2, 3-1 with 1 no contest over his last 5. No contest was in his last fight, yet he got to go into the finals. Do you know anything about this, Gumby?
I know nothing about it.
Okay. Them's the breaks. All right. 2-1 in Bellator. That's all I got for you. For him, Veretennikov, 11-4, 8 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 2-0 in UFL. He's won 2 straight in 10 of 11. 3 straight wins via finish. 0-1 on Contender Series. 3-0 in LFA. Was regional champion. 2012 pro MMA debut. A year younger than Reese. 3 inches height, 5 inches reach. So pretty impressive resume for a guy fighting in this promotion. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was ready for you to ask me who he lost to on Contender.
Who did he lose to, Gumby?
Michael Morales.
That's a quality loss.
Yeah, quality loss. The dude's clearly doing all right in the UFC. Ashley Reese, not your typical British MMA fighter, in that he seems to really want to wrestle. At least in the least opportune moments he does. Because he seemingly tired himself out in the first round of the fight I was watching. I can't remember if it was his last fight or 2 fights ago. But he seemingly tired himself out in the first round. And then in the second round, immediately started shooting takedowns he wasn't able to hit anymore. And then just kind of wound up in some bad situations. So like for me, that's particularly worrisome against Veretennikov for 2 reasons. Number one, Veretennikov, not easy to shoot on because he moves forward at a pretty heavy clip. He's a guy who's always on the front foot, always trying to move forward, always trying to back you up against the cage. He does so with, you know, like just putting, you know, putting volume in your face, not even necessarily to try to hit, but just try to scare you off or faint and throw jabs and stuff like that. And also he's got like a big back leg kick that he comes with that he throws to your body, throws to the legs too sometimes, but a big kick from the rear leg. So I like Veretennikov in this fight because I think, first of all, he's going to have the takedown defense to make Ashley Reese look silly when he does shoot those takedowns. And in addition to that, I just think it's going to be hard for Reese to shoot at all, being that Veretennikov is going to be moving forward. Veretennikov's going to be in his face. And I think Veretennikov is just a better striker in the first place anyway. He's fought a really high level of competition. I mean, he kind of hung in there with Michael Morales, not for anything. It's like, I don't think he looked awful in that fight. Obviously not good enough to win, but like, you know, what is Michael Morales? Like a top 15 guy in the UFC already? So yeah. For the fact that Veretennikov hung with him for as long as he did, I mean, like, that's really impressive. I don't think Reese is anywhere near that level. So give me Veretennikov. If I had to guess, you know, Reese is, what is he, 9-2 in his career or something like that?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, 9-2 in his career. So I don't think you're going to get terrible odds on Veretennikov. I'll say like -170, you know, like a little boost because of the LV. But, you know, I think Reese is, you know, pretty respectable in his own right. So I think maybe we get Veretennikov like -130.
If I hadn't said get down there, man, a little boost because of the OV would have been the title, Gumby. That's a good, a solid runner up. How's Veretennikov's knee punches, Gumby? Have you scouted that?
I've never seen him throw one.
It's probably good.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to see if I can find that clip again, and maybe I'll clip it and throw it in the Discord.
Yes, throw it. Let us see it. All right, Veretennikov is his pick there. Let's go to the main event. A name you shall recognize probably if you're a sicko like us. This is for the UFL Bantamweight Championship. Main event, yet one of the participants, this is his debut in the promotion, right? don't ask questions, just go with it. Hunter Azur, that would be the person I was speaking of. Maybe gets a pass because he's fought at a high level. He's fighting against Amon Cosme, both from the United States, 5 5-minute rounds, bantamweight. Cosme Moon is the nickname, 6-1 with 2 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been submitted once, 2-0 in UFL. Both of those wins have come via TKO. That's how he punched his ticket into the finals here. Used to fight at featherweight, an inch of reach over Azur. Hunter Azur, 10-3, 3 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. This is his debut. 1-2 over his last 3, 2-3 over his last 5. He did win his last fight. However, that was back in October of 2022. He went 0-1 in the Ultimate Fighter, 2-2 in the UFC, 1-0 in Contender Series. So they had him go. He basically every property the UFC has, he has fought on. 3-0 in LFA, used to fight a featherweight regional champion as well, height of an inch of height over Cosme. I'm butchering things because we're getting near the end here. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was always a big fan of Hunter Azur when he came to the UFC. Like, he's a guy who, he's got really good wrestling, right? Like, I'm really impressed every time he gets to his wrestling. The problem is there's just like not enough tools around it to scare people into thinking he's doing anything but wrestling. And I think that's a problem here against Amon Cosme, because like, do I think Cosme is going to stuff every single one of his takedowns? No, but I also don't think he settles into the positions enough for Azure to have any sustained success there. Also, like I said before, he knows what Hunter Azure is going to do. He's not going to hit him with big shots on the feet. He's going to pump two jabs and shoot a takedown, pump two more jabs and shoot a takedown. And as long as Cosme doesn't mind eating one of those two jabs and moving his head for the second one, he'll stuff the takedown. And Cosme is much better on the feet. He's very powerful. He's pretty damn quick. I think probably quick enough to catch Azure. And then the other piece for me, and why I'm kind of really leaning towards Cosme in this fight, is Azure's chin worries me at this stage of his career. Because he's been hit a lot. You know, to your point, he's had some time off. But in that time off, he fought on the Ultimate Fighter, and he got knocked out by Rico DiCillo, who I don't rate particularly highly as a prospect. You know, he was a guy who he was the only one on Team Prospects who won in the first round of that tournament. Like, he was their lone fighter left after the first round. He just caught Azure with a punch, and it was enough. And for me, that's kind of worrisome, because I've never been all that into him as a prospect. And now to see Azure getting his lights turned out by that guy, I think Amon Cosme is going to do a lot more damage with his hands than Rico did. So, yeah, give me Amon Cosme. I think he'll probably be a dog, because he doesn't have the name value of having fought in the UFC, on the Contender Series, in the Ultimate Fighter. Like, Hunter Azure is a household, you know, if you're a sicko UFC fan, like, you've heard of Hunter Azure before. Like, you've watched him before. Cosme, despite being a really good prospect, a really high-level prospect, I don't know that anybody's really heard of him enough that he wouldn't be like a negative 175 or even plus 200 or plus 175 or plus 200 dog here.
All right. There you go. Surprise pick. So where do you think we're going to get him at? Plus,
I'd say between plus 175 and plus 200. Okay. So you can put down, you know, plus 185 if you're putting it on your guest list.
I will. I always check after the fact. So you shall be judged on these guesstimates that you made. All right. That is United Fight League 4. Hopefully it is as fun to watch as it was to do this podcast and for you to listen. Let's recap his picks. He's got Cosme. He's got Veretennikov. He has got Delgado. He has got Estrada. I missed one. Did I?
DeFrancesco.
Fesco. Right. I forgot to put there. DeFrancesco and Estrada. So there are your picks for this here fight card. One more regional event coming up tomorrow. We're going to cover another regional event. And then we will have the UFC, which will be going down on Thursday. Run through the fight card quickly for you. We haven't done this yet. Matias Nicolau, Alex Perez is the main event. So that's, we always approve of flyweights in the main event, even if Alex Perez doesn't show up. That means another flyweight will show up. Ryan Spann, Bogdan Guskov. That's more like the main event of most fight nights. light heavyweight fight. Ariana Lipsky, Karina Silva. That's an actually fun fight. Like to see Silva in there again. Austin Lane, Jonte Dinez, Tim Means, Euros Medic. That is the main card. Hani Yahya, Victor Henry, Austin Hubbard, Michael Figlak, Dontel Mays, Cal Machado, Marnik Mann, Ketlin Souza, Gabriel Green, James Lontop, Ivana Petrovic, Liang Na. Nah, Liang is still around, Gumby. She made Yanni look smarter than me, so she'll always be on my naughty list for that. And then Gabriel Benitez, Mahashat. He just goes by Mahashat now, doesn't he? Yeah. ISAR. He just are we getting Jonathan Pierce, David Onama? I see that listed too.
Yeah, I heard that one's on. Yeah.
Fantastic. That's a good fight. All right. Thoughts on this quickly? Any thoughts?
Excited to see James Yontop. I liked him on Contender Series.
Lola Lontop.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to fading Na Liang in any way that I can. Yeah, I don't know that I'm jazzed for it. I mean, how funny is it that Alex Perez, who Manel Cape once said his DNA is an abomination for pulling out of a fight. Yep. Is now filling in for Manel.
Yes. Yes.
That's fantastic.
That is the irony. Sweet irony.
Yeah. I'm pumped about it.
Yes. So anyway, we shall cover that in 2 days time. Tomorrow we got more regional MMA for you. And if you listen to this part of the show or watch this part, then you want us to do more regional MMA. You're going to be down for it. Or you're too far away from your click or whatever you're watching or listening to us on to change the channel. But regardless, thanks for watching. If you are watching on YouTube, make sure you hit the subscribe button. It helps us out, helps our numbers out. If you're listening to us, thank you. I think you can auto download our podcast as well. What else should you do? This gave you some jobs. You should get in the Discord and at the very least say hi. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. Twitter, you don't have to say hi there. It's a cesspool, but we are on Twitter. SGPN MMA. He's like Gumby Vreeland. I'm a Jeff Fox writer. I got a Substack. Got my UFC pick'em. It should be running by the time this is in your ear holes. So get in there. Free subscription will get you in the weekly pick'em. Paid subscription will get you all of my writing and podcasts or whatever else I decide to put out there. So check that out. Gumby's got Top Turtle MMA podcast. He always has good interviews. Who is being interviewed this week, or is it a surprise?
I think it's still a surprise at this point in time. I think okay, I have good. Possibly a UFC fighter, but also some LFA action. So if you're a regional MMA nerd, which let's face it, to be at this point in the episode, you pretty much have to be. Yep. I've got some fun interviews for you lined up this week. So make sure you tune in.
I just got way too close to the camera there when I was adjusting my seat. So that was scary, even for me. What else should you do? Our main site, of course, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Read our articles. Check out the other podcasts, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Get in there and dress cool like Gumby and I. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. Get in there and help us crush corporate gambling. All right, I'm going to let you bid everyone farewell this episode.
All right, I'm Danny Gumby Vreeland. He's the Flea, Jeff Fox, and we will see you tomorrow.